I'm indeed grateful for the privilege of being here these days.
Amen.
And I'm grateful for the good preaching.
Yes.
And the good singing that's exalted our Lord. If I could say to those who are missionaries and are in pastoral ministries or evangelists, if I could share with you three little things that I think should be priority in our lives, and I believe prayer is a must. The Lord Jesus said, "We have not because we ask not." And then the Spirit of God's fullness. As a young Christian, I seldom ever would go to a meeting that I did not hear someone preach on the Holy Spirit's ministry.
Right.
And I believe that's a neglected area.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
But without Him, we can do nothing.
Right.
There must be Spirit-controlled servants of the Lord.
Yes, amen.
Prayer, Spirit of God, and an effective witness.
Yes.
An effective witness. Yes. Saul of Tarsus got born again on the Damascus Road. God sent Ananias. And he said in chapter 22 of Acts, in verse 14, The God of our fathers has chosen thee that thou should know his will, see the just one, hear his voice, be his witness.
Amen.
And that's what missions is about.
Right.
And by the way, whether you're a member of this church or you're a missionary going to some other field, that is God's will for our lives.
Amen.
He wants us to see His face,
yep,
hear His voice,
yep,
and be His witness.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I was talking to a preacher friend today. He's well up in years, over 90 years of age. We've preached together in mission, on mission fields, mission conferences, and he shared those three thoughts. He said, I believe that we as fundamentalists are missing out on emphasizing prayer, the fullness of the Spirit, and being an effective witness. The Lord Jesus said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And by the way, I believe this. I believe when God saves a person, He gives them an appetite for the things of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
You see, we just have one daughter, but when she was born into this world, we didn't have to go back 3 days later and pick up an appetite for her. That came along with the process. And by the way, when you get born again, God will give you an appetite for the things of the Lord. And how important. He said this in Matthew chapter 6. He said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, but we're to lay our treasures up in heaven." And by the way, if my hunger and my thirst is right, my affections will be right.
That's right.
If my hunger and thirst is right, my allegiance will be right.
Yep.
We'll not be trying to serve two masters.
Right.
If my hunger and thirst is right, then my ambition will be right.
Amen.
Seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness.
Amen.
And so, how many of you believe tonight that the Word of God is complete?
Yes, sir.
We believe it's inspired.
Right.
We believe every word of it's inspired. Right. But we not only believe it's inspired, we believe it's preserved.
Right.
And there's no error.
Right.
And there's no filler.
Right.
And so I'm going to preach a little thought tonight that you might think that is so insignificant. It's so simple. But I promise you, if you'll listen, you'll remember it down the road, around the next corner,
amen,
next week, in your ministry. If you'll open your Bibles to the book of Acts. Someone said, do you know a good book on church building? I said, I believe I do.
Yeah.
It's the book of Acts.
Amen.
Missions is vitally important because of the cross of Christ.
Amen.
It is vitally important because the command of Christ. It's vitally important because of the coming of Christ. You see, the word faith is found in our Bibles 246 times. This is a faith promise conference. And by the way, I preach in churches that don't use faith promise. But the majority of them, I believe it's a vehicle. And I think more can be accomplished. Here's what I think about faith promise mission giving. I think it takes the lid off missions and allows you to do a far greater job in getting the gospel to others. I believe in faith promise.
Amen.
And the Bible said, whatsoever not of faith is sin.
Right.
And so Colossians 2:6, he said, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. We received him by faith.
Amen.
He said, the just shall live by faith.
Right.
We walk by faith. We pray by faith.
Amen.
We preach by faith. We witness by faith. But we give by faith.
Amen.
And so the word love is used at least 733 times in your Bible. And the word hope is used at least 175 times. But the word give or giving is used 2,285 times.
Amen.
I'd say that's priority, amen.
Amen.
And so how important it is. Giving creates your future service. It creates your future rewards. Again, giving must be learned. We were all born covetous. We're born selfish. We're born greedy. But you learn to give. Hallelujah. Could I say, when God begins to give you an understanding of what he can do through yielded lives, there's no limit to what God can do. Amen. I was in a church over in your state and preaching a mission conference, and the pastor said, we have a man that gives $3,000 a week to Faith Promise Missions. I said, I've never heard of that before. Well, he's a businessman, and he learned the secret that God's shovel was a whole lot bigger than his. Amen. And how important this matter of giving is important. Now, I know this. I know that folk don't readily respond to the matter of when you start dealing about finances.
Yeah.
But it takes money to get the gospel.
Right.
How shall they hear except somebody be sent?
Right.
And that's what the conference is all about.
Yeah.
And so I could say a lot about it, but I'm looking at the 27th chapter of the book of Acts. Acts 27, and I just want to, if you just give me about that much time and a little bit more. I promise. I never intend to preach long anyway. Amen. About that much. Amen. Acts 27. Can I say to you, Saul of Tarsus got converted on the Damascus Road. So I said, oh no, he just had a sunstroke. I said, he did. It was a stroke from the Son of God that smote him to the ground. And he said, Lord, what will I have me to do? And by the way, when your spirit filled, You'll be asking the same question, Lord, what will thou have me to do? I can't tell you what God wants you to do. I can tell generally what God wants you to do, but I can't tell you the specific. But as a God, he's called the Holy Ghost. And he does what? He guides us into all truth. And so he's saved by the grace of God on Damascus Road. And in this 27th chapter, he is a prisoner. Everything's not running so smooth. Fact is, he's out on the Mediterranean, and he's experiencing a lot of storms in his life. Who is he? Well, he's an apostle to the Gentiles. Who is he? He's a chosen vessel. Who is he? I'm saying to you, he's God's man. But he's out on the sea of life, and now he's a prisoner. And I read in that chapter that there's 276 that was on that ship. I'm not going to talk about Euroclodon. I'm not going to talk about the waves. I'm not going to talk about the winds. But I'm going to talk about the Apostle Paul. He's shipwreck. And he's warned them, and they ignored the warning. That's about like what happens a lot of time when you warn and they ignore. And so they're shipwrecked. And so they got to shore. Some of those prisoners got to shore on a board. I don't think it was a deacon board. Some of them swam. But now they're on the island of Melita. And chapter 28. I want you to notice with me. Chapter 28. I've got 7 things I want to say. And I'll say them in a hurry. But in chapter 28, notice what it said. Well, pick up verse 42 in chapter 27. The Bible said, and the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. And the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, providence of God, and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some of them on boards, some of them on broken pieces of the ship. I don't know where the boards came from. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And a barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us everyone because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul was gathering a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hands. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after that, after they had looked a great while, they saw no harm come to him. They changed their minds and said that he was a god. I'm not preaching on the venomous beast. I'm not preaching on the matter of shaking that beast off. I'm looking at verse number 3 in particular. The Apostle Paul is up on the island of Melita, and he's shipwrecked. There's at least 275 others that was on the ship. And the Bible said, and when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, I want to preach a little while tonight on picking up sticks. What's the Bible? He's gathering a bundle of sticks. I don't know how many is in a bundle, but there's a bunch. He's gathering a bundle of sticks. Now, this is a gist. This is what I want to emphasize tonight. In doing that, his goal was to keep the fire burning. Bless God, I tell you, that's what missions is about, is to keep the fire burning. Hey, somebody said, that's so insignificant and so simple and so, well, just stay with me. I'm saying here, the Apostle Paul is demonstrating Christianity in shoe leather. He's doing what he can while he could. It's seven little things, and I'll say there's something practical and profitable. Number one, I want to say he is declaring to his companions that he is the master of his circumstances. He's saying, I will not be a victim of my circumstances. He is quarantined. Yeah, he cannot hold meetings. He cannot write epistles. But he's just doing what he can while he could. And so he's not sawing logs. And he's not chopping down trees. He's just picking up sticks. Could I tell you that everybody here could pick up a stick for God? Hallelujah. When you make your faith promise commitment on the Lord's day and you place that upon the fire of missions and you put yours there, that little stick you put there, you say it's not as big as that stick, but every stick's important. And so, he's just our prayer is God. Challenge our hearts to be willing to, by the way, if you're going to do that, you get your hands dirty. And by the way, he disproved this saying that wet wood won't burn. He's interested in keeping the fire burning. That's why your pastor schedule a meeting and ask others to come to keep the fire burning. And by the way, you're responsible. If you don't do your part, the fire could go out. Notice with me this. He's in life, that's very important. And so he's under lockdown. He's a prisoner. He's in quarantine. And Luke gives the eyewitness account. He is both the observer and the recorder. And by the way, it's inspired. It's in the Word of God. And it's something that we can learn from that. And so, Acts 27, Paul's a prisoner of Jesus Christ, not of Caesar, but of Jesus Christ. He's on his way to Rome. He's faced with the possibility of martyrdom for the sake of Christ and for the gospel. It's not too smooth sailing, is it? But he's on the sea of life. All those prisoners, listen, they're without hope and they're without help. But praise be to God, I'm glad there's an Apostle Paul that's willing to pick up a stick to put on a fire. I'm saying it this way. It wasn't smooth sailing to Italy. The ship on which Paul was sailing was caught in the teeth of that tempestuous storm called Euroclydon, and for over 2 weeks the ship was tossed like a cork on the waves of the Mediterranean, and again, finally, the boat wrecks on the island of Melita, and it describes us, the crew and passenger. They got offshore. Acts 28 opens by describing the occasion. It was cold. It was raining. It was a dreary day. But the Apostle Paul was just picking up sticks. Could I tell you that there's not a long line of folks waiting to pick up sticks? But I want to say to you tonight, I'm thankful to God for those who picked up some sticks along the way and started a fire in my soul. And it's burning there tonight. I thank God for the Dr. J.B. Buffingtons. And I thank God for the James Crumptons. And I thank God for others along the way that came and put another stick on my fire. And she's burning tonight for the glory of God. And so, what's Paul doing? He's just looking for wood. Fuel for the fire that the islanders had built for them. His actions was shouting out, my circumstances are not going to defeat me. Amen. When this so-called pandemic came out, one old boy said, I washed my hands so much, they kept saying, wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands. He said, I washed mine so much that I found the answers to my 8th grade math test on my... But I want to say to you, I said at the beginning, I believe that COVID is real. I believe it was designed, believe it was sent here, but I want to be precautious, but I'm not going to dig a hole and crawl in it. I want to do what I can while I can. Why? Sinners are on the way to hell, and you and I need to be doing what we can about getting the gospel to them. And so he said, I'm not going to let my circumstances defeat me. Captivity, shutdowns, termination of evangelistic meetings, shipwreck, bad weather. None of those things are going to dominate me, he said. Amen. I refuse to be a victim of my circumstances. I am determined in Christ's strength to be the victor. Amen. And so circumstances, the things which stands around us, or the things which surround us or threaten us. If you'll notice with me, please, the book of 2 Corinthians. In the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 4. And I want you to see what the Apostle Paul is saying here. In 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse number 8. He said, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're cast down, but not destroyed. He said, I'm not going to let these circumstances dominate me. I want to do something if it's nothing more than just picking up a stick to put on a fire to keep the fire burning. I asked men of God through the years as I pastored, I had asked men that I had high respect for about how is a man filled with the Spirit of God. I guess I've read on the Spirit of God's ministry and revival more than any other two subjects outside the Bible itself. Asked Dr. Crumpton that question. Asked Dr. Robertson that question. Asked others. Had Dr. Harold B. Seitler in. He's preaching at a Bible conference on a morning session. And I said, Dr. Seitler, tell me how's a man filled with the Spirit of God? Here's what he said. Brother Joe, if a man wants to be filled with the Spirit of God, and the best way and to his knowledge, everything's right between he and God. Here's what you need to do. Find you a place, get alone with God, get on your face before God, and ask God to fill you with his Spirit, and get up believing it. Amen. Could I tell you, you can't improve on that. There's nothing sensational about it. It's just simply by faith. Trusting God to fill us with His power. Mm. Whatever your circumstances are today, whether it be weather or sickness or adversity, financial distresses, opposition from others, we can be triumphed. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. I'm grateful for His gracious enabling. I said, I've met a lot of preachers that can preach a whole lot better than I can. But I don't know if I've ever met anybody who wanted to more than I did. I say, God gave me an appetite for the things of the Lord and to see God do great things. I'm willing just to pick up a stick to put on the fire. Could I say, secondly, I said seven. Secondly, the Apostle Paul, in picking up sticks, was displaying true humility. That's a missing note today. As folk could stand up and say, look at me. They testify and they're talking about them. They're singing about them. I say to you, it's not about them. It's about Him, I say to you. And so he's illustrating, displaying true humility. Who is this man? He's the Apostle Paul, who wrote the letter to the believers at Rome, that Christian, the greatest statement of Christian faith and doctrine. He trained at the feet of Gamaliel. He preached the gospel to the philosophers. And listen, he's an apostle to the Gentiles. He's a great missionary. He's a church planter. But now, he's just picking up sticks. All right. You said, buddy, I'll tell you, I've had them tell me, if they'd just let me preach, I'd have folks running the aisle and filling the altar in 15 minutes. I wouldn't walk across the street to hear a peckerwood like that. Y'all all right? Picking up sticks for the fire. It's not to make a name for himself. No, no, no. That's a low down work. Picking up sticks. But his goal was to put them on. Nothing showy about it. Later on, Paul wrote to the Christians at Philippi, and he said it this way in the book of Philippians chapter 2, and you're familiar with it, but I'm going to read it anyway. In Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 5, notice what he said in verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I'm saying, how rare, are you listening? How rare is the fruit of true humility? We've got too much pride. Could I tell you, God hates pride? He hates pride because of the root where it started from. Satan said, I'll be like the Most High God. I'll ascend before the throne of God. God hates pride because of the root. But God hates pride because of the revelation. It reveals a wicked, ungodly heart. I'm saying God hates pride. And it was Jonathan Edwards who wrote, nothing gets a soul so much out of the devil's reach as true humility. True humility. And that's why the Lord said we can't have revival unless we're willing to humble ourselves. And we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Amen. And He'll lift us up. Amen. Number 3. In picking up sticks. Who's he? Apostle Paul. Giant of a preacher. Great church planter. But he is setting an example for others. Amen. He's given a pattern to follow. There's no plaques that I've ever heard of being given to stick picker uppers. There's no certificates of appreciation given to the stick picker uppers. But I'm going to tell you this. Without that, that fire is going to go out. And so it's important. It's not filler. Number four, got your safety belts on? He's picking up sticks, putting on a fire that somebody else started. That call about 75% of the crowd tonight. Because if they didn't start it, they ain't certainly not going to pick up any sticks and put on it. If they didn't think of it. But he's putting sticks on a fire that somebody else started. There's folks that's so bent on wanting to be original. I want to say to you, we're not original. And there's nothing new under the sun. And some of these fellows, and sometimes not just younger preachers, but even some older preachers, will give you the impression that they want to straighten out your poor little idiots out there that don't know what's going on. Yeah. And so they got a little something here. And by the way, if it doesn't measure up to that book, we're going to trash it anyway.
Right.
I don't care how much applause you get. And excuse me, but I don't care how much zeal you have with it either.
Right.
I'm not shooting, brother. I'm saying I've got folk. And Dr. Ray Hancock said, man, I asked him one day, said the fellow said, had so much zeal, said he'd just run. And said, the man said, do you think he's going to make it to heaven? He said, well, I think maybe he will if he doesn't run past the pearly gates.
Yeah.
Are y'all all right? And so picking up sticks, he's setting an example. But picking up sticks, he's contributing to what others have started. The islanders had kindled the fire, and they received the weary travelers. No names are given to the fire starters. Paul is contributing to keep the fire going. There's no glamour in it, no clamor attached to it, but it was just a little bit of service. No picnic spirit among those who are huddled around the fire. No plaques, no certificates. No limelight. And in the ministry, listen to me. In the ministry, I've observed, Brother Pastor, that there's some folks over there in the kitchen that's been picking up sticks.
Amen.
And putting them on the fire.
Amen.
So when we get in here, our hearts are blessed.
Amen.
Our physical needs is met. This orange family picks up an instrument over here, and they're just putting another stick on the fire.
Right.
And God, the Holy Ghost, warms our heart and stirs within. They're just doing what they can. The man that vacuums the floor, you said that's not important. Oh, yes, it's important. It's keeping the fire burning. Amen. It's contributing to the fire. Keep the fire burning. I say, God help us. We need to keep the fire burning. And so many folks are routine. They're doing the mundane from the natural point of view. No glamour. It's done behind the scenes. You don't see them do it. And they don't have to be patted on the back. Are you listening? They're just willing to be a stick picker upper. Amen. They're not doing what they're doing to be recognized. They're doing what they're doing to keep the fire burning. Why? What would happen if the fire went out down at Island Ford Business? Oh God, help us to be reminded that we are important in the economy of God. Don't have to preach, but you can pick up a stick. Don't have to sing, but you can pick up a stick. Don't have to teach, but you can pick up a stick. Don't have to be recognized, but you can pick up a stick. Fine. We want to keep the fire going.
That's right. Amen.
Oh, yes. And by the way, there's a lot of fundamental independent Temple Miller Baptists that is out of business tonight.
Yep.
Doors have closed on churches across this country because somebody was not willing to keep the fire burning. Well, let's see this. just quietly, consistently picking up sticks to keep the fire burning.
Amen.
This is what our attitude ought to be. So I'm preaching a meeting in Spring City, Tennessee, several years ago. While I'm preaching on missions, God said, I want you to increase your faith promise given by $50 more a month. And he made that real plain. I didn't have to ask a second time. He made that plain. In that same meeting, my wife has a project of making greeting cards. And God said, I want you to give all the money that comes in through those greeting cards to missions.
Amen.
For several years now, she's just been picking up sticks and putting them on the fire in the form of a greeting card. And for several years, she's given over $3,500 a year, plus what I give, what we give to missions.
Amen.
Does that make us anything? No, we're just stick picker-uppers.
Amen.
I don't mind that because I want to see the fire burn. I want God to keep the flames burning. And so we keep the missionary zeal burning, the fire that was kindled by others.
Amen.
Oh, buddy, I recall those days sitting in the pew as a young Christian. Oh, how my heart burned within me.
Yeah.
I'd hear Pastor Buffington preach. I'd hear those that he brought in to preach, and God did something in my soul. I'd hear the Dr. B.R. Lakins and the Lester Roloffs and the Harold B. Seitlers and the Walter Burroughs, and I could go on and on down the list, but God was doing what? He was allowing them to put a fire. That word of God was shut up in my bosom and is burning like a fire. And when you preach and when you testify and when you sing, God's putting some more sticks on the fire to keep the fire burning. And so I say this, there's all kinds of people that are willing to be a part of the bucket committee to try to put the fire out. God help us. May God give us some that will contribute their fair share to keep the fire burning. I'm telling you, the missionaries that you already support and the missionaries that you're going to support is dependent upon you to pick up the sticks, put it on the fire to keep. Could I tell you that the greater the fire burns, the more heat it puts out and the more light it gives? Hallelujah to God. Can I say, make it a big, big fire that those in Indonesia might feel the warmth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those in Korea, those around the world, because we just did our part.
Amen.
Picking up a stick and put it on fire.
Amen.
Oh, my, my, my. Number five, I'm going to stop shortly. By picking up sticks, the Apostle Paul was investing in the welfare of others. Brother Jimmy, there's a total of 276, not counting those islanders. But he's doing what? He's not only meeting his need, he's meeting the needs of all those others. He's keeping the fire going. Not only met his own need, but also the needs of others. And the responsibility we have to others, we find it in Philippians 2, Ephesians 4, Galatians 5, Galatians 6. We're to live our lives for others. The poet said, others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. Help me live for others that I may live for thee. And so Paul's faith was manifested by his care for others. He's concerned. He's willing to pick up sticks to keep a fire burning.
Amen.
Number six, while picking up sticks, he was exposed to danger. And by the way, could I tell you, if you get real serious about picking up sticks, you're going to be exposed to some dangers too. There'll be those who will seek to censure you.
Yeah.
There'll be folks that'll misrepresent you. But Dr. Robertson said, brethren, there's some sticks in the road you don't have to run over. Just straddle them and keep going. I'm saying, listen, we get occupied on those things that rub us the wrong way, and we lose sight of the fact that the fire is about to go out. Why? We're possessed on the matter of defending ourselves. We ought to be consumed with the matter of keeping the fire burning. While picking up sticks, he experienced the unseen danger. While Paul went out about his service of love on behalf of others, the poisonous snake attached itself to him, to the apostle's hands. And Dr. Lakin used to say, brethren, if you don't want anybody to talk about you, just do nothing, be nothing, and say nothing. But he said, if you try to do something, be something, and say something, he said, there'll always be somebody that'll talk about you. But he said, please be reminded that when they're kicking you in the seat of the britches, you're out front. It says, we're always exposed to danger. And by the way, there's greater dangers today than it was 5 years ago. The vipers of criticisms and censures. I'm going to mention one last thing, and that's all I'm going to do is mention it. In the act of picking up sticks, the Apostle Paul was actually preparing a way into the hearts of those islanders that started the fire.
Yes, sir.
I say, in what he did, he was demonstrating Christianity in shoe leather.